Gospel according to Matthew. Two things I'd like to mention. Pray for the Burrell family this week. Brother Peter's grandfather, Mr. Silver, has gone home to be with the Lord. And so Peter and I assume his family, I didn't see them today. I didn't know they were all going, but anyway, they have gone to out east to help with the family and the burial and spend time with them. So pray that God will bless them and comfort hearts and give them joy in the Lord this week. So pray for them. And also want to remind the men of the church that we don't have a men's prayer meeting during the course of the week as the ladies do. But I do invite any men who would like to meet me at 5:15 on Sunday afternoon before this service and pray downstairs in the deaf room. And you're welcome to come and join me if you are free enough to do that. Can get here a few minutes early and we'll spend some time in prayer together. I would love to have your company in doing that. All right, Matthew's Gospel and chapter number 24. Someone made this statement one day. We've been talking about what does the future hold? And someone made this statement, and it's worth pondering a little bit. While we talk continuously of his second coming, Christ's second coming, many remain ignorant of his first. In other words, you know, it's wonderful to contemplate the future and to consider that he's coming again, and there is more reference to his second coming than to his first. And it's all over the scripture, but the second coming has no meaning to people who don't know about his first coming and understand why he came, who he was and why he came and what he did. And so let's take that to heart, and let's remember not to get caught up in and overwrought with prophecy. We take some time every once in a while to explain it and to share some thoughts, and then let's go on. We saw this morning that Daniel, a man greatly beloved of God, who prayed and then had God answer his prayer by sending him messengers from heaven, still didn't understand everything, still didn't get it all, and said, I don't understand. What shall be the end? And ask again. And so we won't understand everything, but we can understand that God's in charge and that everything will work according to his plan, and we can know the general outline, and that's what we've been looking at. So this morning we were back looking at the part of the future that is called the tribulation period. We also sometimes call it Daniel's 70th week. And we looked at Daniel chapter 9 this morning and then looked at several of the passages in the book of Daniel. And I ran out of time, so we're going to go back and cover some of that. This Matthew 24 is the teaching of the Lord Jesus. And we've mentioned it before, but this is right before his betrayal and crucifixion. And he was asked a question. So let's begin in verse number 1, Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? I would point out to you that it's my conviction that they did not understand at this point in time anything concerning a rapture. They had not been told that. They knew the Lord was going to be leaving and would be returning. And they were still expecting a kingdom to be set up. And they didn't fully comprehend the crucifixion and the resurrection, because though he taught them about it, when it came, they were not prepared for it, didn't understand it, and fled from it. So when they ask this question, and the answer, what they're saying is, what is going to be the sign of your coming, of your return, and of the end of the world? Those two things happening basically together. And so Jesus answers them, and we're not going to read the entire chapter. You can go home and study it, but I have much more I want to show you tonight. I want you to go with me to verse number 14. In the midst of his explanation, he said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Remember, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice to cease, and the overspreading of abomination shall make it desolate. That's what he's talking about. Daniel the prophet, so you'll notice here the Lord Jesus validates Daniel, validates the authenticity of a man mentioned in Old Testament scriptures by the name of Daniel, who was in Babylonian captivity. He was a prophet, and he told the truth. And when you see what he spoke happen, and it will happen, and then in parentheses, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. This is what's happening in Jerusalem, and the Jews are going to be involved and going to be concerned. Now, there's much more, again, we won't go into for tonight for time's sake. At some point, I'll probably preach in Matthew 24 and chapter 25. But I want you to go down to verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation. When you see this abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. There should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. You'll recognize the language again. Great tribulation such as not since the beginning of the world to this time. We read that a couple of times in the book of Daniel this morning. Then I want you to notice verses 29 and 30. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So we see again that there is going to be, when you see the abomination of desolation, there's going to be a time of great tribulation. And immediately after those days, there shall be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Much more to be considered, but I wanted to set the stage there. Now go with me, if you would please, to the Old Testament again, and again to the book of Daniel. And a few weeks ago in the message, I referred to these passages. I did not look at them with you, but I did refer to them. Daniel has a dream, and what's called a dream and visions of his head while lying in bed. And he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. We're in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7. And he describes these beasts that he sees that come up from the sea, and the last beast being having some horns, and it was diverse from all the rest of the beasts before it. It had 10 horns. Look at verse number 8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up from among them another little horn. Let me just tell you at the outset that the little horn is a reference to the who we call the Antichrist, or the person mentioned in Daniel chapter 9, the prince that shall come, who confirms the covenant with many for 1 week, and then commits the abomination of desolation. There came up among them a little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. You've dreamed before, haven't you? And you know what your mind conjures up. I get up sometimes after dreaming and say, where in the world did that come from? This is how he describes what he saw. And he says in verse 9, I beheld till thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. So he sees this little horn, And it plucks up other horns by the roots, and it has eyes like the eyes of a man, a mouth speaking great things. And I watched until the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, a reference to the Lord Jesus, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set. The books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So from verses 8 through 14, in Daniel, in his vision, if you go and compare that to what you read in Revelation chapter 6 through 19, you have that progression. You have this little horn, this beast that arises, that rules, and then is cast down. You have the return of the Lord Jesus, and then you have the judgment seat, his kingdom, his millennial kingdom set up, and then you have the great white throne judgment. All of that prefigured here in this prophecy. Look at verse 25. Speaking again of this little horn, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. We mentioned that this morning. We understand that to be 3.5 years. A time, 1 year. Times being 2 years, so 3 years. And dividing of time, half a year or half the time, is again a half year. A half of the tribulation period. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations, my thoughts, my meditations, as I turned this over in my mind and thought about it, much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. To look at chapter 8. And again, another vision. And we won't read the first part of it. We'll just read the explanation of it. Verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences, shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Again, let me stop and say, if you go to the book of Revelation, you find out that the power that he has is derived from the dragon. And the dragon is Satan. So he has satanic power. He is Satan incarnate, if you please. But not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. By peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince, capital P, of princes. He's standing up against the King of Kings, but he shall be broken without hand. In other words, without man's intervention, God will take care of him. God will deal with him. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterwards I rose up and did the king's business. I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. I'm just trying to show you again that this scenario is painted over and over again in the prophecies given to Daniel. Now go to the book of Isaiah, backwards to the book of Isaiah. And I want to show you a few other Old Testament references here. Now my encouragement to you is, if you are interested in this, if it's meaningful to you and you want to understand it, write these things down, and during your take a week or a couple of weeks and do it as a part of your devotions. Check the marginal references. As you look at your Bible, if you have marginal references, look at the notations made in your verse, look over the marginal reference and follow those references and begin to cross-reference and keep a notebook, and you'll begin to see a clear pattern or clear picture. You do not learn math by just listening to a teacher stand up in front of you and tell you to do. You've got to study it. You've got to look at it. You've got to work out the problems, get the formulas in your head, apply the formulas, and you begin to understand. You begin to be successful. So in Bible study and being a serious student of the Scripture, we're exhorted to rightly divide the word of truth, studying to show ourselves approved, not to men, but to God. That we rightly divide the word of truth, that we make the right cuts, that we make the right divisions in Scripture. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. So Judah would be the people of Israel, Jerusalem being the holy city. That's what Daniel had been burdened about in his prayer, and what was revealed to him was about the people and the city. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, that's the mountain where in Jerusalem where the temple sits, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord God of Jacob. There hasn't been a temple since 70 AD. But in the last days, there will be. They're going to rebuild. And the nations are going to flow into it. And many are going to say, let's go up. And he will teach us, that is God, the God of Jacob, will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He's going to rule and reign. Look at verse 10. Now, you have to understand, when you read this, the first part, verses 1 to 5, are very positive about the last times, but the situation the children of Israel are in right now, presently, is not a good one, and it's by their own transgression and sin. That's verses 6 through 9. And then verse number 10, here's the exhortation to them because of their sin at this time. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that's proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Goes on to talk about that over and over again in several different ways. Verse 17 repeats what was found up in verse number 11. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Reference that with what you read in Matthew 24, and reference that with what you read in Revelation chapter 6 to 19. Men are going to flee to the rocks and call the rocks to fall upon them because they're fearful of the God who's doing what's happening in their day. They're going to go into the holes of the rocks and the caves of the earth in verse 10 for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he riseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one of them for himself to worship, to the moles. So cast them to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Again, just showing you that the prophets understood that God had a plan, a future plan, and they warned by God's revelation the people of Israel about what was coming. Foretold it. Look at chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. And verse number 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. That's another term for this tribulation period. The day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, and the sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Again, if you take those words and you go back and check Matthew chapter 24, specifically verse 29, you'll see the reference to the sun being darkened before the appearing of the Lord. You will also find that truth in the book of Revelation. Now, let me stop here and talk about what the Bible is describing as the reaction of men. Terror, fear, abject terror. And yet, if you read the book of Revelation and you read about the seal, the judgments of the seven seals, the judgment of the seven trumpets, the judgment of the seven vials, the Bible says men repented not of their evil, but blasphemed the God who was doing those things. So wicked and so evil is the heart of man that even when he begins to reap the fruit, the reward of his own error, he still cannot repent. He still cannot seek mercy, but he still seeks after blasphemy and hatred of God. It's awful to consider. Verse 11, I will punish the wicked for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Go to chapter 34 and verse 1. Chapter 34. Isaiah 34. Again, I'm going to leave. There are many, many scriptural references in the prophets to this time period and to God's plan, what's going to be happening. But Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 1 to 11. I won't read all of that. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. And he did, and we are reading it right now. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now that's already happened. God did that. He brought them back from their captivity. And it was Daniel's reading about Jeremiah's prophecies and what God had revealed through Jeremiah that caused Daniel to go to prayer and say, Lord, what is going on? What is your plan for my people? But notice that we can't strictly apply that passage to that. There is a further reference because God did scatter them again and scattered them abroad and said, Then I will bring them back from all the nations where they're scattered. But look at verse 4. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we've heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail and all faces turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great. This is a day related to the gathering again of Israel to their homeland. That day is great so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 1. Remember that statement? Daniel 12 and verse 1. The time of Jacob's trouble. Dealing with Israel. But he, Jacob, shall be saved out of it. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. Again, for time's sake, we'll not read any further. I'm just showing you this recurring theme throughout the book throughout the scripture. Now I want you to go to the book of Revelation for a minute. Revelation. And if you have this chart, and there, if you don't have it, there is this chart on the back table in the lobby. This chart is about the book of Revelation. And it gives you, this is what's going on up here, what's going on in heaven. And this is the book of Revelation, this whole section right here. And then this is what's going on earth at the same time. So while these things are unfolding in Revelation, here's what's related to heaven, here's what's related to the earth. And this is the tribulation period, this area right here. And you have the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven vials. And you have the middle of the week right here, the first half of the week, first 3.5 years here, and the second 3.5 years here. And then we have the return of the Lord, the 1,000-year reign of the Lord right here, and what's going on, and then the judgment. So we'll get to that part later. But if you'll read this section, this covers Revelation 6. Last week you learned about Revelation 4 and 5, which is what we are going, what awaits us in heaven, the worship around the throne. But in chapter 6, the seals are opened in the book, and from 6 to 19, we read all of this stuff right here, this judgment. Now, you notice this morning that as we studied in the book of Daniel, we kept coming up with this 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 24 months, no, not 24 months, 42 months, 3.5 years. Those statements were made again and again. Well, in the book of Revelation, go with me now to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. So we're in the midst of that section of Revelation, which is the unveiling of what was going to happen during this 70th week. Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 2. Well, let's just begin in verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Again, my understanding of the book of Revelation is that the church is mentioned in chapters 2 and 3. The Lord writes letters to the churches. And he says to John in chapter 1, I want you to write the things which you've seen. That's the vision in chapter 1. The things which are, that's chapter 2 and 3. And the things which shall be hereafter. And in Revelation chapter 4, as we begin Revelation 4, there's no mention of the church beyond that point. But in Revelation 4 begins with John hearing a voice in heaven and being caught up into the heavens, representing the rapture of the church. And so, what is the need for a temple if the Lord is not dealing with Israel? Why rebuild the temple if the church has replaced Israel? So if we understand that biblical prophecy as I'm sharing it with you, then it makes sense that there would be a temple. And he says, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. And by the way, measuring is done when you build, not after. So they're going to build the temple, rebuild it, because so you measure carefully as you build. But the court which was without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That's 3.5 years. Verse 3, And I will give power unto my two witnesses. There's going to be two witnesses that God is going to have testifying during this first 3.5 years. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That's the same as 42 months. Or the same as 3.5 years. So we see the reference again that kind of equates these things that are going on with what we read in Daniel chapter 9 about the 70 weeks, and particularly the 70th week. Look at chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse number 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness. And the woman represents Israel. We don't have time to study all of that, but you can. The woman, which was Israel, fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, flee. Run for your lives. Because then shall be tribulation such as never been before. And notice, the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there. How long? 1,260 days. 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. That's 42 months. The second half of that 70th week. Then I want you to notice verse 14. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman. I'm in verse 13, I'm sorry. Persecuted the woman which brought forth a man-child. And to the woman, verse 14, were given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's nourished for a time and times and a half a time. Again, corresponding to what we read in the book of Daniel, as God unveils to Daniel what is his plan for the nation of Israel, for Jerusalem and the Jewish people. So it's 1,260 days, and it's called a time, times and half a time. Look at chapter number 13. Beginning in verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Again, the half of the tribulation period. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. That's the abomination of desolation spoken of in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. And them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And on it goes. But I'm just showing you that the time elements that God revealed were in his program for Israel in answer to Daniel's prayer are the same time elements revealed in Revelation chapter 6 through 19. Now, we don't have time to do this, but let me just, without looking at them all, let me rehearse for you. You know how bad it's going to be? Even in the first half of the tribulation, but the second half is called the Great Tribulation. In Daniel chapter 6 and 7, we read about 7 seals. We read about the seals being opened, and we read about the rider on several different horses, one coming out as a conqueror with a bow, and another coming out on a black horse, which speaks of famine and death. So there's going to be famine and death. There's going to be war and bloodshed. When you read about the one of the riders, the rider on the pale horse there in Revelation chapter 6, his name is Death, and hell follows him. And power is given unto them for 1/4 part of the earth to be slain through the sword, through hunger, through death, and through the beasts of the field. That's what's happening during this tribulation period. Then in chapter 8, we begin to be introduced to the trumpets. And the first trumpet sounds, and there is hail and fire mixed with blood falling from heaven, and burns 1/3 of the trees upon the earth, and burns up the green grass. The second trumpet is sounded, and we read in chapter 8 that 1/3 part of the sea becomes blood. And 3rd trumpet is sounded, and the rivers and fountains of the earth are turned into wormwood and are bitter, and they cause men to die. Many die. And 4th trumpet sounds, and 1/3 part of the sun and the moon are darkened. And then in chapter number 9, 5th trumpet sounds. And there is a opening of hell, as it were, of the bottomless pit. And out of that bottomless pit come some locusts that have power like unto scorpions. This is how John sees them and how John describes them. and they have faces like a man and tails like a scorpion, and on it goes. You can read about all of that in chapter number 9. And there's power that when they affect a man or sting a man, it's the torment lasts for 5 months. And it says that men will seek to die and cannot. They will seek death and desire to die, but be unable to do so. We read about the sixth trumpet. And 4 angels who were bound in the river Euphrates are loosed. And there is power given unto them, and the power comes from their mouth, and by fire and smoke and brimstone, 1/3 of the men on earth die. 1/3 of the men still living on earth will die. And yet you read in that same chapter, and this is what I mentioned to you before, if you want to see it firsthand, chapter number 9, and verses 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders or their sorceries or their fornication nor of their thefts. Therefore you feel bad about God's severity of judgment upon man. Look at man's severe rejection of God and his mercy. This is a long time in the human history. And they've rejected his son, and they've rejected mercy again and again. And even seeing the judgment, the reaping of what they have sown, they can't come to repentance. Then from here on out, 10, 12, 13, 14 are various events that are taking place that are happening during this whole period of the tribulation period. But we get to chapter 16 and we have 7 vile judgments. 7 vials of judgment poured out. And in the first vial, there is a noisome and grievous sore that comes upon men and the earth. In the second vial is the sea becomes blood. Again, the third vial is poured out, and the rivers and fountains become blood. The fourth vial is poured out, and the earth is scorched with great heat. Men are scorched with great heat. And yet, in verse number 9, we're told again, they repented not. Then we see darkness throughout the kingdom, and men gnawing their tongues for pain in the fifth vial. In the sixth vial, the Euphrates River dries up, and 3 unclean spirits are released that go out to deceive men. And then in the last vial, we see a great earthquake such as never been seen upon the earth before, and we see great hail falling from heaven. You can see in all of those things that what's going to happen during the tribulation period. Now you say, Pastor, it's incredible. I can't hardly believe. Well, maybe John is just giving us a description of something and it's figurative. Well, did you ever read the book of Exodus? Do you deny the truth of the book of Exodus? It's a matter of historical record. What God did in Egypt, turning the water into blood, causing the frogs to cover the land, and lice, the dust of the land being turned into lice. And on the miracles go as God tries to convince Pharaoh to let his people go, and Pharaoh hardens his heart. Saying to you, this is not the first time these things will happen upon earth. They're going to happen, beloved. This is the word of God. This is not the conjecturing of some Baptist preacher somewhere who sat down and wrote a book. This is not a committee of men who sat down and got together and said, let's write something that will scare people into believing. This is the revelation that God gave to a man who was beloved by him. And it corresponds and collaborates with the vision God gave to a man in the Old Testament who loved him and was beloved of him. These are real things. And those who know not the Lord Jesus, who aren't raptured before the tribulation, are going to experience all of this stuff, are going to go into this stuff and deal with all of this. And it may be, as some believe, that the church, we may have to go through some of it. I don't know. I don't believe we will. But I'm telling you, it's very real. And when it was revealed in the Old Testament, God said, weep and howl. Joel said, sound the trumpet, or sound the alarm, blow the trumpet in Israel, for the Lord is coming with his army. His armies march before him, and you ought to tremble, and all the inhabitants of the earth ought to tremble. And when it happens, they'll tremble, and they'll run, and they'll want to die, but they can't escape. And yet they won't repent. But as we've read in several Old Testament passages, and I conclude with this, Israel will be spared as they were in the Old Testament in Egypt when God poured out his judgment. Israel will be purified. Those in Israel whose hearts are hardened against God and who are idolaters and blasphemers, they will die. But God says God will protect Jacob and keep him through it. And Jacob will be purified and made right and will become the covenant keeper that he was intended to be with a covenant keeping God. And when God is through and all of those things are done and God's made an end of their sin and of their transgressions and made reconciliation, all those things he mentioned in Daniel chapter 9, those purposes were fulfilled, then the Lord will return and set up the kingdom that the Jews have so long anticipated. They'll be shocked. They will mourn, they will weep when they see him to recognize who he is. And yet he will set up his kingdom and rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. That's what the future holds. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the vast instruction of Scripture. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who's our helper. And when we come in faith, when we come in sincerity and humility, when we come seeking understanding, when we come confessing our sin as Daniel did, and pleading for wisdom, you said we will have it. And that we can understand and wisdom can be given. And thank you for these glimpses into the future. May they sober our hearts tonight. May they sober our spirit. May they also encourage us to know that our God is in control and nothing's out of control. Everything is operating according to his plan. And we need not live in terror or fear as the children of God. But rest in solid assurance that the Lord knoweth them that are his and will protect them and preserve them. Father, help us to care about the people next door to us and the people we work with and the people we shop with and the people that we rub shoulders with day after day. Help us to care about them. Help us to wonder in our heart, has anybody ever told them? Has anybody ever sat down and shared with them what the Bible says? Given them any kind of reason to believe the Bible, to give heed to the Scriptures. Lord, help us to care and help us to prepare ourselves and to be solid witnesses, good witnesses, careful witnesses, loving witnesses to the truth, that men and women who will repent might have the opportunity to repent and be gloriously born again. How we rejoice to hear the story that Brother Dave told, Brother Dave Cloud told us tonight about Dorje. In his conversion, and how while he was headed to becoming a polygamist, he got saved. And his attitude toward his wife changed, and he began to love her. And she got saved, and she learned to read, and now is a prayer warrior, and many others are saved. Lord, there are those who deny you because they know you not. Who aren't concerned about the future because they don't know what the future holds. Help us to believe that and to look for them and to share the truth with them in hopes that you peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Surely, as we've seen tonight, there will be those who will not turn even when they see the plagues and experience the plagues. They still will not repent, still will not change. But there are those who will. Help us to commit ourselves tonight to share with others the prophecies of Scripture that they might be forewarned before it's eternally too late. Help us not to be calloused or careless in our Christian life, but to remember we are in a warfare, a serious warfare, an eternal warfare. Help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I pray in his name. Amen. Let's stand together. And we'll just let the piano play. We'll not sing anything. And you just wait on the Lord. And if he leads you to come to the altar for any reason, I'm going to step down in front here. And if you want to talk to me, if you're not sure about your soul, if you're not sure that your sins have been taken care of at the cross of Calvary, if you're concerned that you might face this future alone and without Christ, why don't you slip out and come and say, Pastor, I want to know about Jesus. I want to know how to be saved and how to be forgiven and to be prepared for eternity. We'll be happy to take the Scriptures and show you what the Bible says and help you to enter into life. Would you do it? Would you slip out and come? I did many years ago. Many others in this room have done so. These things are not things that we should ignore because we're afraid of what somebody might think about what we're doing today.